everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and this is the 30th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast. The show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman, the animated series. Now, this is the 30th episode, meaning we've been doing this show for 30 plus weeks. To make this episode special, it's going to be super fun filled, just full of humor and laughter and jokes. So to make sure that happens, I have a very special guest with us today, Mr. Mutant Larry.
Don't believe the hype.
I stay hyped. Is that how it goes?
I stay don't believe in the hype. 30 years of... Congratulations. 30 years
30
of podcast.
Years.
You realize that's like before the internet you started? 30 years of podcasting.
Yes, I've been talking about this show since I was 4 years old. Always knew it was something that would change my life forever, especially once it existed.
Yeah, once it actually became a thing,
yeah.
What you had to talk about skyrocketed.
So, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun and laughter here, so I can't wait for that. But
maybe some tears, but we probably learned something before we're done.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. I was just handed a letter.
And this really? Is, by whom?
By the letter man.
Oh, I know the letter man.
Yeah, and yeah, he's that guy. Remember, he used to sing like political songs in his piano, and he has a suit with letters. Question marks, one of those two.
Oh, but, I thought he was the guy that told me how to save money on.
Yeah. So.
Name, the guy with the Riddler jacket on TV.
Yeah. So, it's a letter for the guys upstairs.
Oh, no. We're in the doghouse?
It looks like it is. This is a cease and desist letter.
Ooh, cease and desist.
Yeah.
Can you translate that for me?
That is Spanish. For
yes, and the sister, right?
Exactly.
It's the sister. Cease and desist.
Yeah, cease and desist.
Yeah, I can be racist because you're here.
Now let me open this letter. See what it says on it.
Are you opening it or setting it on fire?
I'm opening the letter. It's just that I have a hard time knowing how to open things. All right, it's a letter from Pac Diner.
Pac Diner, delicious.
President of DC Cinematic Universe.
Wow, what a title.
Yeah. It says here that this podcast has been described as funny and fun to listen to, and that the DC Universe has no room in it for fun. So, if I don't stop now, I'm going to be sued for all the millions that I get paid to do this show.
No, okay, we can fix this. I will cut my face off and sew it back on, and you have to go back in time and take everything that makes you interesting away from yourself.
Done.
But you have to do that like 3 times.
Oh.
In 3 different universes.
So, you know what, just to be safe, we should stop and just take all the jokes away from the show. Even though that's what I thought I was already doing.
I was waiting for one to happen.
So,
was this a preemptive strike that they just thought there might be a joke in one of these shows eventually?
That's what I thought. I figured, you know, one day we might get a cease and desist letter, and I just figure I'd take all humor away.
Way to plan ahead.
This week's episode is titled Tiger, Tiger. Original air date, October 30, 1992.
Oh, is this Mary Jane? Is Mary Jane in this one?
Yeah. She says, you hit the jackpot, Tiger.
Tiger, Tiger.
And then the episode ends. All right, everybody, thank you for joining. Hey, don't...
You hit the jackpot, Tiger, Tiger.
Right, original air date, October...
Remember she used to stutter back in the 60s in the comics?
No, that was her thing. She was like, she was a stutterer, and then, like, her career never recovered from that. Then she started, like, just jobbing to people, so it's a big thing. So, original air date, October 30, 1992. So, this was the Halloween episode.
Yeah, almost Valentine's Day.
Yeah. All right, the title card is actually pretty awesome. It's a drawing of the silhouette of, like, this wolfman howling at the moon on a cliff over a forest. That's actually, like, pretty cool looking. All right, we're in a dark and gritty suit. It's dark and gritty with a dark and gritty tiger. Man-eating tiger. Because he's gritty.
Don't you think it's stylistically drawn tiger?
Yeah, it's really weird. I think the reason is because they didn't want to animate, like, the thousands of stripes on a tiger. So they're like...
just you get the idea.
Yeah, they're just like, draw Wolverine stripes on his face.
Done. Tiger, done.
So, a security guard walks around, and he makes quippy remarks at the tiger, but that's going to be edited out and probably inserted into the Blu-ray later. Selina Kyle, remember, she's Catwoman, Selina Kyle.
Now, is the zoo closed right now?
I don't know. I assume it is because it's late at night, it looks like.
Selina Kyle,
like, appears from the bushes because she likes to sneak into zoos and talk to tigers.
This is never explained why she's there tonight, right?
Instead of just visiting during normal business hours and still talking to the tiger, which I'm sure no one will think it's weird anyway.
Yeah, they're like, a zoo's open 12 hours a day, right? But she couldn't fit it in.
She break in
she
at
had
night.
To sneak in.
Yeah.
In civilian clothes.
Yeah. So she's hit in the neck by a dart. What is this? Her date with Bill Cosby?
Oh! You know where you went? There.
Yeah. So her vision gets blurry, and she sees a huge person jump out of a tree and walk towards her. And then he gets into view, and it's like this weird gorilla man.
Yeah, but at first you think it's a turtle in an overcoat.
Yeah, or like this giant orange rock monster.
Which means you don't recognize them and think they're a normal person.
Yeah, or Screech from Saved by the Bell. So he grabs Selina, and he's spotted by the security guard who thinks that they are a couple that decided to break into the zoo and make out, like couples tend to do.
Like, and he says it like he breaks this up every night. Come on, Romeo. I know how people like to come in and just make out by the tiger cage after hours.
What does he think this is? A date with Bill Cosby?
Whoa! Somebody take the temperature of that flame, because it was a sick burn.
So the gorilla man charges the guard, and he knocks the guard into the tiger pit, where then other security guards show up, and they shoot the tiger dead. And then people ask where the parents of the security guard were to make sure that he didn't fall into the enclosure. That's relevant nowadays.
I just know when they did this right here, that cut made it look like he got eaten, right?
Sarangi. Yes! He falls in there, and then the tiger starts roaring and growling and howling at the moon.
And then they do a cut, so you're like, and he's eaten.
Yes. So the gorilla man escapes with Selina. We cut to Bruce Wayne acting like a creep outside of a restaurant. He's just hanging. He's hanging out outside by the window, peeking in to see if Selina is there.
Is that what you do when you meet someone? You don't go in. You just hang out the window and glance around. And like, are they in there? They're not. Go in and ask if she's here yet.
But then we get exposition waiter.
Yes.
And
not for exposition waiter.
He just comes out of nowhere to tell Bruce that Selina's going to be late because she's visiting a friend at the zoo. Okay, Bruce Wayne is literally outside the restaurant by the window. This waiter walks from inside the restaurant all the way outside around the corner just to tell this to Bruce Wayne, who I guess he overheard his conversation with Alfred.
Which means the waiter comes out of the restaurant, just listens to people on their cell phones.
Yes.
What are they talking about?
Well, to be fair, in 1992, Bruce Wayne was probably like one of three people with a cell phone.
That's true. A collar one. And Bruce is wearing a yellow button-up shirt with like a brown coat.
Oh, that's what he wears all the time, except now he's wearing like a
yellow
trench coat over it.
God, yellow shirt?
Yeah, that's like his everyday outfit.
Why?
Because he's Batman, so nobody challenges him.
Yeah, and then
maybe it's a prank by Alfred.
So why? We never find out why she went to the zoo.
Yeah, she but just went to go.
Calls the waiter and says, "Tell my date I may be late because I'm visiting a friend at a zoo." I don't know what that means, but then when he tells Bruce, Bruce tells Alfred, "I may be home late," like he thinks he's going to get lucky or something. Is this all some weird thing? Then the zoo guard thinks they're making out. Is this a whole thing that I don't know exists until I go on the internet?
Yes. It's the blue monkey butt.
I'm not even going to search that because it probably is something.
It probably is. So, we cut to the zoo where the cops are investigating the kidnapping. The guard...
Yeah, the guy's alive now.
Yeah, the guard was rescued from the tiger cage. And he is telling the cops about how lucky he is to be alive, but the cop doesn't care. The guy's
now, okay,
like...
I have to ask right here. How was the guard rescued from the tiger cage?
Well, I'm guessing...
Wouldn't they have had to shoot the tiger?
Yeah, but the tiger's still alive. We get to see it later.
Exactly.
I'm guessing that, like, one cop grabbed the other cop by the ankles and they made, like, a human ladder.
Yeah, because you know how physically fit cops are. They often do that.
Yes. And the security guard's like, "Man, if you guys hadn't showed up, I would have been sushi." And the cop's like, "Yeah, yeah, so about that girl, huh?"
Isn't sushi made out of fish, mostly? I don't eat it.
But, to be fair, that guy did look fishy. The guard tells the cops that the gorilla man took Selena. And then Bruce Wayne shows up. And Bruce Wayne's
okay,
just
wait,
like...
Wait, this part right here, though. Does the guy think he's a gorilla? He thinks he's not a gorilla. He thinks he's an ugly guy.
No.
In like a 2-minute period, he's like, "Oh, this gorilla, this ugly guy. Well, oh, he's kind of a big gorilla." This guard really had problems.
He thinks he's an ugly guy because he says, like, "Oh, her taste in men. This guy, real ape-like."
Yeah, but then he's constantly on the ape thing.
He didn't rehearse his lines. You know, give him a break. Like, he probably just showed up the day of filming.
He's free-forming it.
Yeah, he's like a...
No, I got it. This guy's half gorilla. Gorilla man. He's got that girl kissing her. He likes to kiss the gorilla man.
You see, that was the first scene they filmed. The gorilla... They filmed the first scene of the guard talking, and he was like, "It was a gorilla man." So then they had to draw a gorilla man. Because they were...
He was just drunk. A voice actor just came in drunk. "Oh, that... Kissing on the gorilla man, yeah."
Because
I'm a Bill Cosby. Wow, you got me doing Bill Cosby.
Alright, so, Bruce Wayne just shows up, and he just, like, walks up to the enclosure, and finds the dart that Selena was hit with, because the cops are incompetent and can't find a key piece of evidence.
Yes, I wrote that down. How do cops miss a giant dart? And also, how is Bruce Wayne just walking into the zoo after hours? Are rich people allowed to walk into the zoo after hours? I didn't know this. Rich people can go to the zoo at any time during the day.
Well, yeah, because they are better than us.
Well, that's true.
So, we cut to a laboratory where Selena Kyle is tied up to a table and waking up from a drug-induced sleep. What is this, Bill Cosby's house?
Sweater.
So then a giant tiger man smells her. Like this enormous, like, well, he's not even a tiger, he's like a panther. You could say he's like a, like he's like a black furred panther. You could say like he's some sort
of
but
he's really werewolfy too.
He's like some sort of like black colored panther like cat. I would call him a black feline man.
Oh, that'd be superhero, black feline man.
Yeah. And this is crazy redhead scientist guy. And he tells the giant tiger, the giant tiger, he's like, "Back down, tigress." I'm presuming...
What a name. Why is this name?
Well, I'm presuming that tigress's last name is O'Neill. That was for all you Titus O'Neill fans out there. Oh, looks like I'm talking to myself again.
Yes, exactly.
Get it? Because Titus O'Neil has no fans.
Isn't this
Tigress O'Neil?
Do I not know how some languages work that when you say Tigress, it kind of is womany?
I don't know. Tigress to me sounds fine.
I think it sounds like a lady.
Huh. I never really thought of that. Oh, well, yeah, you're right. Tigress, like the Wonder Woman villain.
Yes.
Oh, no, wait, that's Cheetah or... But, yeah, I get ya. I get ya. Yeah, Tigress. I never even thought of that. That's, wow.
Like Chitara.
I should probably learn English or get out of the country.
Pretty soon you won't have a choice about either.
Yeah. So, the scientist introduces himself as Dr. Emil Dorian, and he tells him the Gorilla Man is named Garth. So, Dr. Dorian sends Tigress to do some exercises, which consist of Garth shooting at him with bowling ball gun, and Tigress dodging them. And Tigress, of course, does this easily, and he captures Garth. Then Dr. Dorian... Huh?
When they run this exercise every day, does he break the gun every day during... They have to replace the bowling ball gun every day during exercise?
Yeah, and they also have to patch up all those cement beams that he's destroying with the bowling ball gun.
I don't understand this.
So, Dr. Dorian explains to Selena that Tigress was created from scratch. He alters human and animal DNA. Yeah, from scratch.
Wasn't that a Ninja Turtle guy? I can't make this joke. Wasn't there a scratch?
I think you're thinking of Slash.
Oh, okay.
So Dr. Dorian alters human and animal DNA to make hybrid creatures. And he claims...
Because
it's his hobby.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. A multi-billion dollar hobby.
So, he claims Tigress is the ultimate living being, having the ability of cats and other creatures. And then, Dr. Dorian drops this bombshell. He reveals that Selina Kyle is actually Catwoman.
What?
Wow.
I can't wait to... I really want to know how he found that out. I can't wait till he explains how he discovered that.
Oh my god. That's...
He doesn't explain how he discovered it.
Wow, she's Catwoman. Do you think that Dr. Not Poison Ivy... What her opinion on this would be?
She doesn't have anything to do with the supervillainesses. She doesn't.
That's true. Dr. Not Poison Ivy. Which, that joke would have been funnier if I remembered her name.
How bad is your secret identity if a guy who lives on an island thousands of miles away just watches the news or something? I don't know, reads the paper and can figure out your Catwoman?
Okay, maybe a little behind the baseball. They call it inside baseball.
I've been inside
baseball. I don't know if this episode was... No, it can't be. Because there's an episode later on. I'm not sure exactly how much later on. Where Selina Kyle is sentenced to like a prison sentence or something. And the but that's way later on. Even in production-wise. Like, say that. I didn't think that episode was produced.
Yeah, and he makes a point of being very dramatic that he knows the secret.
Yeah, so maybe Garth was following her around, and I mean, Red Claw found out pretty easily.
I don't think it's a woman who dedicates her entire life to cats, and then there's a super villain lady who's running around that looks exactly like her. Yeah, you can figure it out in the same town.
So he tells Selena that dart in the zoo was the first part of his formula. And he then injects her in the neck again with another needle. Because who does he think he is? Bill Cosby?
I don't think he's going to have sex with her.
Oh. So, Catwoman, because now we can call her that, passes out. And we fade to Batman talking to Kirk Langstrom, the doctor who became Man-Bat in the second episode of this series.
You mean the man who should be in jail?
Yes.
How is he not in jail? Or at least Arkham?
Because he reformed. I don't know.
I think in Gotham you could actually just, instead of saying guilty, not guilty, you could say reformed.
Yeah, they let you go. So, Dr. Langstrom finds that this serum that was extracted from the dart found at the zoo belongs to Dr. Dorian. Like, he's like, yes, Dr. Dorian created this formula. He splices animal DNA with cats. Hey, let me show you this half cat, half monkey creature that I just so happen to have in a cage on my desk. In case this very specific scenario ever arised.
Why does he have the doctor's failed experiments in his lab?
On his desk. Like, right, just in case Batman showed up and asked about it.
And it's not even a cool pet. It's really gross and disgusting.
It's like this monkey cat thing, and it's like you said, it's like gross, and it's like all like one of those like please kill me animals.
Yeah, it's the worst part of a monkey with the worst part of a cat.
Yeah, because it's not like cute or playful. It's just like, God, take me out of this existence.
Like, now Batman's all excited because Batman loves using cats in experiments.
But yeah, he does. So, Dr. Langstrom tells Batman how to find the island that Dr. Dorian lives at, and Batman flies over there on his Batwing, not his Nightwing. Although if he flew on his Nightwing, that would have been a fun scene to see.
That would have been cool. Been like Lois Lane and Superman.
Yeah,
but. What a bad supervillain that this normal, everyday scientist knows his address.
Well, I'll forgive him on this one, because since Dr. Langstrom became Man-Bat, I'll assume he had to study people who were splicing genes. So he probably worked with this guy and kind of just found out, not sure.
I still say he should have been in jail.
He should be. So, Batman...
Remember, didn't he blow up a blimp or something? Right there, jail.
Well, he almost killed, he caused the cops to blow up a laboratory. But actually, that was the cops' fault. Or actually, it was Bullock's fault. So Batman hang glides through the jungle to reach the lab. And also, I should mention that Batman keeps running into flying cats, like, throughout the scene.
There's just cats with wings. Now, is this the same flying cat, or is this entire island just populated by flying cats?
I think it's the same one.
Oh, okay, because I was thinking maybe just flying cats everywhere, which someone's going to have to notice.
Yes. I'm sure one of those cats could fly out of the island.
Yes. A boat going by and a cat just flies onto you. Like, it's a flying cat.
So Batman finds the doctor by climbing to the roof of the lab, and he spots him through the skylight, but then Batman is spotted by Garth. And then Batman.
Yes, I don't understand this. Garth is pulling up his pants as he comes towards Batman. What was he doing? Did we miss a scene where he was taking a pee or something?
Well, that's probably where like the outhouse is located, like on the roof.
Do you honestly want to know why I think they did that?
Why?
This is like weird. But in all those old weird. Like science fiction movies where you had a mad scientist and you had his crazy assistant like Igor or that bald guy that used to be a wrestler, Tor Johnson.
Yes.
They would always be doing something like that, always implying that the guy had been pulling down his pants or something.
Well, cause
remember that there's like one where the guy, the scientist slaps him because there's hickeys on the lady's neck that's chained up. Well, weird stuff. I think they really did that.
To be fair... He probably did have his pants down in between takes.
Why not? That's what I do.
Yeah. So, Batman beats up Garth, and he crashes through the skylight, and Dr. Dorian just sends Garth away. Is Garth, like, the most useless henchman?
Yeah, and you don't even get to be that you feel sad for him, because you don't get that turnaround moment where he...
No, he's an a-hole.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's a gorilla man, but he's not even really strong. He keeps getting beat up by everybody.
Yeah, he's a gorilla... Again, he's taken the worst part of the gorilla.
His face.
He's the look, but he's taken the good part, which is the awesome strength, out.
And he wears shoes. What kind of a gorilla wears shoes? Doesn't that, like, limit a lot of his abilities?
Yeah, that's 50% of your grabbing right there. I've seen movies.
So, Batman asks about Selina's whereabouts. And Dr. Dorian says he's going to show him Selina Kyle like he has never seen her before. In 3D! So actually, this scene's pretty cool, though. We see, like, a dark room, and the doctor turns on the lights, when out of the shadow steps out this orange cat woman, like a literal woman who is a cat, and Batman has like the most shocked face in the world when he realizes that this is Selina Kyle. I really do like that scene. That is a good reveal right there.
Yeah, I mean, he has something going.
They kind of drop the ball with Tigress because he just shows up and smells Selina's hair.
Well, she looks more like a cat than he does. He's, if you watch this with the sound off, you would probably just think he's a werewolf and go on.
He's like a weird Egyptian jackal or something.
Yes, he does look like a jackal werewolf. That's a good, yeah.
So, Batman loses it and he grabs the table and he breaks the window to Catwoman's cell. Dr. Dorian says Batman will only confuse her and she only needs one more injection to become a permanent Catwoman.
Why would you tell him that?
Because he's, the exposition waiter was in there. Dude, that would have been awesome.
It would have been. If he had walked in and said, by the way, she only needs one more injection. We need exposition waiter and waitress in every TV show ever.
That would have been amazing. So Batman threatens Dr. Dorian, but he is grabbed by Tigress and tossed across the room. And Tigress looks at Selina lovingly, but she turns and rejects him, just like every woman.
Now, here, let's go ahead and say, they've just ripped off like 15 movies and put them into a TV. I mean, it goes from werewolf movie to the Island of Dr. Moriarty, that guy thing, or and then it goes to the Most Dangerous Hunt, and then we get Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein. This is so many cliches in one episode.
Yeah,
But
somebody is a big fan of horror science fiction.
Yeah, you get all your favorites right here.
Yes,
but the thing is, it's fun.
It is fun. It's a good episode. So, where were we? Oh, yeah, Catwoman turns and gives Tigress the cold shoulder. So Tigress slashes at Batman, but Selina gets in between them and tells Tigress to stop. And then Batman tries to remind Selina who she is, but Batman is attacked by Garth and Tigress. And this part, Catwoman warns Batman of a net being thrown by Garth. And she gets caught in herself, but nobody, like, ever moved. She kind of just goes, Batman, watch out! And he never moved. Aim. And the net just captured her, because she was just standing there. So, was he always aiming at her?
It's bad aim.
So, Batman is restrained by Tigress now. Dr. Dorian says he wants to test Tigress's feral instincts, and Batman is going to be the perfect subject.
Now, he's just totally playing everything by ear, isn't he? He has no plan at all.
No, like, he never kidnapped Catwoman thinking Batman's gonna come to this island and we're gonna test your skills.
Yeah, because you can't do that. You already have a man bat.
Exactly.
So you can't do where, I'm gonna turn Batman into a man bat. Oh, I've been beat to the punch.
They could have turned him into a monkey like the old comic books, remember? He got turned into a gorilla.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Actually, I do.
Yeah. So, Batman is released into the jungle and given a head start. And Dr. Dorian tells him if he defeats Tigress, then he's going to give Batman the antidote to cure Selina. And Batman's like, how do I know you're telling the truth? And the doctor's like, well, you don't. So,
why is he doing this? I guess maybe he's just crazy. I'll just say he's crazy and we'll go on.
Yeah, because also, alright, we'll continue. Tigress catches up to Batman. But Batman subdues him by using some gas pellets from his belt, which the doctor allowed him to keep for some reason. He's like, I want to test all of Tigress's skills, so I'm going to give you an advantage by letting you use all your gadgets.
He does realize that if Batman kills him, then it's all done.
Yes. Yeah, he doesn't know Batman doesn't kill. Does he?
No one knows that. Because it's not true.
So, back at the lab, Dr. Dorian and Garth walk into Selina's enclosure with Garth carrying a tranquilizer rifle. And Selina says she's not going to fight them. There's no need for the gun. But Garth just shoots at her anyways.
Yeah,
And he misses. So I guess you were right about his bad aim, because he just like misses by a mile.
It's that whole keeping the bad parts of the gorilla. I'm sure gorillas have bad eyesight, so he kept that.
Yeah, and then Selina just like runs away. Dr. Dorian doesn't mind because he has a point. This is an island. Where's she going to go? So
yeah, he is. The whole episode, he's very nonchalant about everything. He's like, I'm crazy. Whatever.
How was this scientist able to afford an island? Who is he? Bill Cosby?
Ooh! I think he had an isthmus, but still.
So Tigress and Batman continue fighting, and they fall off a cliff. And Batman lands on top of Tigress, and that knocks out Tigress. So then Tigress gets up, and Batman shoots a net at him and ties him up to a tree. And we find out that Tigress can actually speak. And he tells Batman that he's going to kill him, and then Selina's going to love him. And Batman's now, like, whatever, and he just leaves.
Yeah, Batman is a real jerk in this thing. Because he, Tigress says something like, my father told me this. He goes, your father's a test tube.
Yes!
Really? I don't understand. This is where the writing goes all crazy for me. Because it seems they cut out the absolute most important scene where Batman saves his life. So later on, Tigress is like, Batman's not bad. He saved my life. But no, Batman never saves him. And if anything, Batman's like, let him die. 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, Batman does not give a crap about this guy.
There's supposed to be a scene where Batman could let him die and goes back and saves him. And then Tigress is like, you can't fool me. Batman's a good guy. But that never happens.
No.
That's so weird.
So Batman is crossing a rope bridge. So they're using his grappling gun.
Yeah, so now it's Indiana Jones.
When he is found by Tigress again. And Batman and Tigress fight for on the bridge for a bit until the rope breaks and they both fall down another cliff. Batman saves himself by hanging onto a branch, but Tigress appears to fall to his death.
Now, are we supposed to assume Tigress can't die?
Because he just fell off a mountain.
There's 4 places in here that he should be dead.
Yeah.
And he shows up alive.
So, Batman, he's walking through the jungle, but he is found by Catwoman. And she tells Batman that there's no way off the island, and then Tigress appears again. Batman could have said, I have a plane. You could get off the island in a plane that I own.
I didn't even think about that one.
So, Tigress appears again. And as I even wrote this, geez, this guy can't be killed.
It really does, which actually, that would have been awesome if that was the whole gimmick.
And Batman just never die. Killing him?
Well, Batman killing people would be awesome. That's usual.
So, he's like, I don't know, he's like some sort of Austrian robot from the future that terminates people.
Like, oh, some kind of Robinator.
Like Bill Cosby.
I remember that episode.
So, Selina stops Tigress from attacking Batman. And she tells him that she can't be won like a prize. So, Tigress said Batman is his enemy because his father, Dr. Dorian, said so. And Selina tells Tigress his father is wrong and he needs to think for himself. So for the first time ever, Tigress questions whether the man who gave him life can be a bad person. And Tigress like howls at the moon and runs away.
Okay, now where's the thing that's like, if you're Tigress, you look back on everything that's happened. Batman's been a D-bag and she's kind of been a D-bag. What made him change his mind? There was nothing. That scene had to be in a script somewhere where Batman saves his life.
Because she told him.
Oh, she told him.
Yeah. Alright, so we cut to Dorian and Tigress having this exchange. Let me play this clip for you guys.
I'm very disappointed in you, Tigress. I am ashamed of you.
Father, please.
20 years of work in jeopardy. You should have killed Batman, torn him limb from limb.
Why? He is not food, and he is not my enemy.
Alright, so Batman shows up. But I actually really like that scene, because Dr. Dorian just slaps Tigress to the ground. And, of course, this just cements who is the real bad guy and who deserves sympathy. Like you said, Frankenstein.
Yeah, now it turns into Frankenstein. There's so many movies in here.
So, you know, that scene may have been a bit heavy-handed.
Yeah?
Because he slapped them.
Oh, I thought we were going to say about Bill Cosby.
Oh. But I thought the scene worked well.
Oh, no, yeah. It's Frankenstein, among other movies.
So Batman shows up, and Garth rushes him, but Batman just kicks him and dunks him out.
Garth is, besides knocking out Selina with a surprise attack with the dart, has done nothing.
He threw the guard in that pit.
It doesn't count.
So, Batman tries to capture Dr. Dorian, but Tigress stops him. And Tigress tells Batman that Dr. Dorian is his father, and he must protect him. So Dr. Dorian is now holding a shotgun, and he blames Catwoman for ruining Tigress's mind. She's like, or not even his mind, like all of them. He's like, you ruined him, you woman.
Well, you know. Didn't he bring her here?
Yes. So, she ruined them. Isn't that what every woman does to a guy? So Tigress stops Dr. Dorian from killing Catwoman. And then Dr. Dorian says that. He tells Tigress, I made you and I can unmake you. And then Tigress like freaking loses it. He starts throwing drums. So now we got like Donkey Kong mixed in here too. He starts throwing like these drums of chemicals around. And everything. It causes like this huge explosion and fire everywhere.
Yeah, this is so classic monster movie, it's really good.
And I should mention, Dorian's lab is like this enormous Frankenstein castle in the middle of this island. So he causes the entire lab castle to crumble. As Batman and Catwoman drag Garth to the outside, shouldn't Catwoman's transformation have given her like some sort of strength?
Yeah, she's pretty much, besides jumping around trees, she hasn't done anything cool.
Yeah, so they drag him outside.
Yeah, now, Batman has let the Wolfman guy die, Tigress, 4 times.
Yeah.
But now he's worried about the Ape Man? So I don't understand. Maybe because apes are more like humans, I don't know.
So Tigress emerges from the lab, carrying Dr. Dorian. And then
again, Tigress can't be killed. I don't know.
No, nothing, not even like a sports hair on this guy. So Tigress leaves Dr. Dorian at Batman's feet, and Batman says he's going to help Dr. Dorian, because Tigress is like, you'll help him, won't you?
Yeah, and Batman's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we're going to get him help. Yeah, no. Then Batman proceeds to beat the crap out of an unconscious Dr. Dorian for the next 10 minutes. And then Batman...
Like this help?
Then Batman calls the Night... Why do you keep calling it the Nightwing? He calls the Batwing. So, Catwoman then realizes that she didn't get the antidote and she's going to be stuck as a cat forever. And then we get this touching scene.
Batman, the antidote. I'll be stuck like this forever.
Would that be so bad? You could stay here with me.
Oh, Tigress. I can't live like this. I have to be human again.
Goodbye, Selina.
So, Tigress hands the antidote to Selina. And she seems all happy. And she runs after him. Now it started raining, so it's even more dramatic. She starts running after him. And then we get another exchange.
Wait. Won't you come with us? There's nothing for you here.
There's nothing for me anywhere.
And Batman's like, whatever, the plane's here. So Tigress walks away into the jungle.
Now, I respect Tigress's game. Because you notice, he's like, hey, you want to hang around with me and live here? And when she says no, he's like, okay, here's Hamilton. He's like, he's going to just see if he's got it. He's got it. Do I have a chance? Is there a chance here? No, okay, well, then, okay.
So Tigress walks away into the jungle. And we get a final shot, which mirrors the title card. The painting of Tigress howling at the moon. And it's, like, really cool. The end. Oh, I get it. He's called Tigress because he's a tiger man. Like Bill Cosby. Yeah. Hey, I hear the phone ringing.
You?
I hear the phone ring.
Oh, now I hear it.
I should pick up that phone that's ringing.
You should, that's how people do it.
Hello? Yeah? Okay. I'll pick that stuff up from the market.
Ah, what?
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Who was that?
Oh, that was my Aunt Martha.
Mother! Mother, Martha! You have Martha! My
Alright, some after show notes. Pack Diner is gonna love that one.
Oh, I don't wanna make mad Pack Diner mad.
After show notes. Dongyang Animation made this episode. And holy hell, the animation is like really good! Great job, mediocre
studio. I
didn't
have any problem with it.
No, it's actually really good. All their other stuff's been like pretty mediocre. This stuff's great.
Batman's nose was a little pointy, but that was about it.
So the lighting, the coloring, it's all good. Like, I think it adds like a perfect mood of like loneliness and mysteriousness to like this jungle setting.
But I think this episode would have been very easy to decide how to go because, you know, it is. It's an old Hammer movie type thing.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
So Dr. Emil Dorian and his lab in the middle of the jungle, they remind me a lot of the silly scientists from Batman and Robin from the movie, the 1987 movie, but of course a lot better. And actually, this episode was made 5 years before that movie, so I wonder if they took any inspirations. It really seems like it, because if you remember, the scientist in Batman and Robin, his lab was in a castle in the middle of the jungle, and he was experimenting with like weird plants and animals. So
yeah, it was the same mood. Yeah,
and even his look—he had the same look as this guy, except the one in the movie was wackier or crazy.
Yeah, everything's wackier in that movie.
So of course, the plot of this episode is very highly influenced by the book *The Island of Dr. Moreau*, which was also made into an awful film in 1996. And for those of you not familiar with the book, it is about a doctor who lives on an island and creates animal and human hybrid creatures. And those of you not familiar with the movie is about a doctor played by Marlon Brando who manages to combine his DNA with that of a beached whale.
How much do you think Marlon Brando got for that movie?
Like 20 pieces of chicken?
No, I bet he got $1 bazillion in chicken.
Yes. Oh, he got his own little clone mini-me. He got to keep him after the filming was done.
Yeah, but usually you do. If they give you a mini-me, you do get to keep him.
So, this is a cool story, cool episode, but I have one problem with it.
Okay, just one?
Yeah, and I don't mean like plot holes and stuff. I actually have one big problem with it. I think that this episode didn't need Batman in it. Like, seriously.
No.
Selina is more than capable of taking care of herself when she's normal. But now that she's like a literal Catwoman, she should be unstoppable.
Yeah, she never does anything.
She should be the one escaping and trying to get that antidote while fighting off Garth and Tigress. But instead, she just turns herself into a damsel in distress.
How cool would it have been if we started with Batman leaving to save her, and then by the time he gets there, she's wrapped it all up.
Exactly. Cool. Like, it could have started the same way, and the waiter tells Batman about her leaving, and he's trying to find out where she is. Maybe that's where the clips you get of Batman, trying to find out where the jungle is. Because that could have been her only problem, not being able to leave the island. And, you know, like you said, she wraps up everything, and then Batman shows up in the Batwing, and that's it. That's his role in this. Or, how cool would it have been if he gets captured and Selina Kyle, the cat lady, rescues him?
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense when you think about what she can do normally.
Yeah, she kicks all sorts of ass when she's normal Catwoman. Now she's like a animal person. She should be, like, as I said, she should be unstoppable. But she's weak. She's powerless. You know, she should be vicious, cunning. She has more power to do it with now, but now she's just like, oh, no. Oh, I'm going to be a cat forever.
Oh, yeah. You would have, you would have no idea who she was if you didn't see the earlier part.
Yeah. So, and that's right, because we never see her turn back into Selena Kyle. So, if you started watching this episode after the first commercial break, you'd be wondering who that is. Well, except for when they call
her. You would think it was some damsel in distress, like some just lady off the street.
Yeah, because they, other than Dorian calling her Catwoman that one time, they always call her Selena. So if you're not really familiar with her being called Selena, then you're wondering, who's this new Selena lady cat? So, Tigress, I find, is a weird character to have in a show that thus far hasn't strained too much from realistic. Because, I mean, what's the most out there character we've had so far? Clayface?
Yeah.
And even his origins are based on wonky science.
Yeah, well, I think by putting it on an island and with mad scientists, you right away get away with, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, and maybe, well, I guess Man-Bat would be the equivalent of this, but it hasn't really strained too far. And I really like him, though. I think that, like, his design, I think it's actually pretty cool. But this is his only appearance ever, and I mean, like, ever. Like, I believe he was featured in, like, maybe one or two stories in the Batman Adventure comic book. But that's just the comic adaptation of this cartoon. Yeah. And I don't think he's been featured in any of the main continuity Batman comics or anything else.
Which is weird, because this happens a lot in comics, that you get this story, and then he goes away. I have nowhere to fit in, and I leave. But then he always comes back with something later on to make a reappearance.
Yeah, like Batman is all of a sudden back in that jungle, but now Tigress is like the leader of this like animal people hybrids that were abandoned by Dr. Dorian and something like that.
Yeah, or Batman finds out someone's going to that island to mine it for something, and
yeah, and then the black tiger person, feline man.
Like feline man is protecting the uranium.
Yeah, the vibranium. So, that's it though. The last time we ever saw this character, and it's literally one of those, like, you can easily miss it things, is in the video game Arkham Knight. There's movie posters, like, on buildings and whatnot. And one of the movie posters is the painting or recreation of the title card from this episode of Tigress Howling at the Moon. And it says like Dr. Dorian's Strange Island of Animals or something like that.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that's the last time we've ever seen any appearance from this character, which I find sad.
I think if this was an ongoing comic, you would have definitely had him make some kind of reappearance.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Alright, time for the Batcave Archives. This is a segment where we rate and rank each episode of that we've been reviewing so far. Just to give you the highlights of the list here. At number 1, we have Heart of Ice, the Mr. Freeze origin. And in last place, number 29, Prophecy of Doom, the episode where Batman fights a psychic that's a fake psychic. And where would you fit this episode from number 1 through 29?
I think this is the definition of a good episode, so it's in the middle but towards the top, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It's right in the middle, because it's nothing special. But it is cool, and like you said, the animation was exactly fitting for what you wanted.
Now, around the middle episode we have is it's Be a Clown, the episode where Joker kidnaps the mayor's son.
I like that, but that episode has problems.
Under that episode we have Eternal Youth, the episode with Dr. Not Poison Ivy.
That was really good, because I mean, who saw the fact that they were not the same person?
Yeah. At number 14, though, we have Point of View. I really do like that episode. I don't think this episode is better than that one.
No.
So it would be
right. I would say you're definitely talking about, I think you're talking about whether it's better than that Joker Mayor Son episode or not.
Yeah, I actually think it is. because, as you said, it has a lot of the old sci-fi horror tropes. Yeah. But
and it's a little more special, because you're not going to get a lot of episodes like this.
But they're used really well. As I said, my only big gripe in this was Catwoman's damsel in distress role. That was it. That was my only thing. She should have been unstoppable, and she wasn't.
You know,
but I don't think it really hurts the episode, because that's not the direction they were taking it in.
And your point, it goes both ways. You could say, why do you even need Batman? But then you could say, why did you need Catwoman? Couldn't he have kidnapped Batman to test out his creation?
That could have been any girl and turned into a cat, but just the fact that it was Catwoman, it's like, oh, it's so cool, and we get to use the Selina character again.
Well, they like Catwoman in this whole series. It's
yeah, so I think it is a better episode than the Be a Clown.
I think so.
So we're going to rank this one, as you mentioned, right in the middle. Out of 30 episodes, this is number 15, right in the middle. Our new 15, Tiger Tiger. Hey, I got some bat news.
Ooh, da-da-da-da.
So a new Batman animated movie will be released on Blu-ray and DVD and digitally, titled Batman Return of the Caped Crusader. And Batman Return of the Caped Crusader features the voice talents of all your favorite characters from the 1966 Batman TV show, like Adam West as Batman. I'm being serious here. This is not a joke. There is a new movie coming out with the Batman 66 people doing the voices.
Is it campy?
Yes.
Okay, no, then I will see this.
Look for the trailer. I posted the trailer on the Facebook page of I'm Batman the Podcast. You can see it there.
I can't wait to hear the Penguin's voice. It's been so long since I've heard it. And then Alfred's voice?
Yes.
Oh, not to mention Aunt, what was her name?
You should see the trailer. It's Batman and Robin tied up in a giant TV dinner tray being slowly conveyed into a giant oven.
Okay, I'm assuming Alfred's dead, right?
I'm sure they all are. So Batman Return of the Caped Crusader features Adam West as Batman, Burt Ward as Robin, Julie Newmar as Catwoman.
Ooh, awesome.
And it also features your other favorite villains, like Cesar Romero as the Joker. Oh. Burgess Meredith as the Penguin. Oh. Frank Gorshin as the Riddler. Oh. And special appearance.
It's Eggman.
Oh. And special appearance by Yvonne Craig as Bat. Oh.
Didn't she just pass away?
Yeah.
Aww.
Batman, Return of the Caped Crusaders will be released digitally on October 11th and on Blu-ray and DVD on November 1st. So look for that.
Now, what channel and time will it be?
The same one.
Oh, the same one?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The same one channel from when you used to have, like, three of them.
I did have three channels.
Alright, everybody, thank you for listening. Remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episode, or the show in general, send them to CaptainMarvelIs1, that's the wrong email, Captain_Marvelis1 at yahoo.com. What am I, Bill Cosby? So, yeah, anything you want to say before we go?
No. But I want to be back next week. And then I want to be back a week after, because I think that's my favorite episode. Am I close?
Yes. So we will have you back.
Look for me on the same Bat channel.
Featuring the voice of Mr. Mutant Larry. Oh.
If I'm not dead. No.
All right,
Watch me die. This will be so awesome. If I die in the next 2 weeks...
Well, I'm going to record a bunch of clips of you talking after we're done.
Oh, yeah, just piece it together.
That's how you did it with Bruce Lee, right?
Was Bruce Lee was on your show? I don't remember.
Yeah. That was a good episode.
Oh, it was the Ninja one, right?
Yeah. That was a good episode. I think it was called Night of the Ninja, but Ninja works.
Tiger Ninja. They were lazy.
So, everybody, thank you for listening. I've been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are... Oh, wait. I have to get this phone call. Hello? This is Captain Marvelous. Oh, okay. Yeah, I will go pick you up at the store. I'll see you in a bit.
Okay, who's calling you?
Oh, that was my Aunt Martha.
Martha! Yeah, Martha! You are there!